VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And it's been another busy week of news, a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. And thank you so much for joining us today here on Crosstalk. We have a number of stories that we'll bring to your attention today. Lord willing, later in the program, we'll give you opportunity to call in to comment on these or other current news-related events. And our thanks to Sandy for putting together so many great stories to keep you informed on critical issues. We're going to begin with the Washington Post today. House Democrats closed their impeachment case against former President Trump yesterday by linking the history of incendiary rhetoric and months-long campaign to undermine the November election to the statements of insurrectionists who stormed the Capitol January 6th, raise the prospect of future violence without a conviction, they report. Some have said stop using the word insurrection in that. Representative Jamie Raskin, the lead impeachment manager, put the question directly to senators, saying, quote, is there any political leader in this room who believes that if he is ever allowed by the Senate to get back into the Oval Office, Donald Trump would stop inciting violence to get his way? He asked. Well, the President Trump's defense taking to the Senate here now today and making their case. Washington Times reporting that former President Donald Trump's attorneys will highlight the hypocrisy in condoning street violence when they present his defense today in the Senate impeachment trial. But with the acquittal all but assured as early as this weekend, Democrats are increasingly eyeing a follow-up move to censure Mr. Trump, an easier way to bar him from holding office again, they report. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer didn't rule out further action from former President Trump holding office. A censure resolution under the 14th Amendment would require only a simple majority vote. We're first going to finish the impeachment trial, and then Democrats will get together and discuss where do we go next, Mr. Schumer said when asked about the 14th Amendment. On and on and on it goes. Let's move on to the Western Journal. Prosecutors in Atlanta have opened a criminal investigation into former President Trump's against him for his alleged attempts to, quote, influence the administration of the 2020 Georgia general election. Democrat Fannie Willis, the district attorney for Fulton County, Georgia, sent a letter Wednesday to numerous state election officials, including the Secretary of State, requesting that they preserve documents related to Mr. Trump's phone call last month. The investigation, that would be with Raffelsberger, the investigation includes but not limited to potential violations of Georgia law prohibiting the solicitation of election fraud, the making of false statements to state and local governmental bodies, conspiracy, racketeering, violation of oath of office, and any involvement in violence or threats related to the elections administration, Willis said in his letter, according to the Times. Well, let's look at another Times. This would be the Epoch Times. Georgia's election board this week has referred 35 cases of voter fraud for prosecution. Election fraud is not tolerated in Georgia. Where there is evidence of it, the people's responsible face prosecution, said the Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, chairman of the five-member board. And the cases involve four instances where authorities say convicted felons voted or can register to vote, and four other cases of non-citizens voting or registering to do so. Authorities also said a group called the New Georgia Project submitted 1,268 voter registration applications after a deadline. Authorities are also accusing Floyd Jones and the Fayette County Board of Elections and Voter Registrations, where he was director at the time, of improperly handling four member cards registering 2,760 votes in the November 3rd general election. Another notable case involves an Atlanta woman who allegedly submitted 70 false voter registration applications. And the fraud goes on in Georgia, ladies and gentlemen. Townhall.com also says that Georgia's newly minted Democrat Senator Raphael Warnock under investigation for his role serving as board chairman of the voter registration organization founded by Stacey Abrams that election officials say failed to follow deadlines. NewAmerican.com is a further part of Joe Biden's effort to purge the executive branch of any vestige of Trumpism. The Department of Justice has now asked U.S. attorneys appointed by Donald Trump to step down from their post by the end of this month. According to a senior Biden administration official, 56 U.S. attorneys have been given until February 28th to resign. WND.com reporting lawmakers in North Dakota, where consumers can sue big tech, and a judge recently exempted religious physicians from doing Obamacare sex change operations. Well, they're proposing a state law that would allow the state to ignore presidential executive orders if they don't meet constitutional muster. It's House Bill 1164, introduced in the 2021 session, says the legislative management may review any executive order issued by the President of the United States, which has not been affirmed by a vote of the Congress of the U.S. and signed into law as prescribed by the Constitution, and recommend to the Attorney General that the governor, that the executive order be further reviewed. It also allows for a review of an executive order by the Attorney General to determine the constitutionality of the order and whether the state should seek an exemption from the application of the order or seek to have the order declared to be an unconstitutional exercise of legislative authority by the president. Well, friends, we know one of the first strokes of the pen of the president came to cancel the Keystone XL, angering Canada, angering unions, angering the many thousands of workers taken whose employment was taken away from them. A story here from CNSNews.com. President Joe Biden's cancellation of the permit for the construction of the Keystone XL in the name of curbing climate change will cause an enormous amount of CO2 to be released into the atmosphere, according to the Energy Equipment and Infrastructure Alliance, because oil from Canada will still travel by diesel-fueled trains to U.S. refineries in the Gulf. We've all heard about the thousands of jobs that will be lost with the cancellation of the Keystone XL pipeline, but in a little basic math reveals that President Biden's Keystone decision will increase carbon emissions. Hear that, folks? It will increase carbon emissions equal to putting nearly a half million more cars on the road, said the EEIA in their press alert. Here's how their numbers are calculated. This is rather interesting. According to the Association of American Railroads, it requires 433 gallons of locomotive diesel fuel to pull one loaded crude oil tank car from the Canadian oil sands to the U.S. Gulf Coast. It's about 2,200 miles. It takes another 144 gallons to bring the empty tank car back up for a refill. That's 577 gallons of diesel. It takes 645 loaded tank cars per day to transport the amount of oil that Keystone XL might have carried. That's about 400,000 barrels a day. That's 235,425 tank car loads per year. Multiplied by 577 gallons each, that amounts to about 136 million gallons of diesel burned per year. Since each gallon of diesel emits 22.44 pounds of CO2, that means the locomotive pulling those trains will emit over 1.5 million tons of CO2. Folks, that's annually. 1.5 million tons of CO2 is equivalent to the emission of 490,000 more cars on the road. And you see, by having the pipeline would do away with that. President now seeking to curb CO2 emissions and concerned, you know, about how much CO2 is going in the air. We've got to cancel the Keystone XL. Folks, is only going to enhance the problem with the equivalent of 490,000 more cars on the road. Western Journal reporting also that President Biden Wednesday reported the issuance of his proclamation to terminate the national emergency at the southern border. He informed Congress in a letter Wednesday of his January decision to terminate Proclamation 9844, in which President Trump declared the national emergency at the southern border in February of 2019. Quote, I have determined that the declaration of a national emergency at our southern border was unwarranted. I also have announced that it shall be the policy of my administration that no more American taxpayer dollars be diverted to construct a border wall, and that I am directing a careful review of all resources appropriated or redirected to that end. Like every nation, the United States has a right and a duty to secure its borders and protect its people against threats, but building a massive wall that spans the entire southern border is not a serious policy solution, Biden said in the proclamation. It is a waste of money that diverts attention from genuine threats to our homeland security. Go ask a border agent about that. Go ask a border agent as they have talked about the effectiveness of the wall that had been built so far. And there's an interesting comment, too, from Ron Johnson, senator from Wisconsin. He said, first of all, I would say obvious leaders in Congress think walls and barriers work because they surrounded the Capitol with them. But no, we have a crisis on the border. It's not being reported on. There are days where it's 3,500 people coming across the border, Johnson said. This crisis was set in motion during the presidential debate when Democrats were promising health care for illegal immigrants and the vice president promising to end deportation. So they're coming. And it's already a crisis, he said. It's going to be a building and it's going to be a disaster, Johnson said. Fences don't work at the borders, but somehow they work around the U.S. Capitol. Interesting. Also, the Washington Post reports that ICE will no longer deport illegal aliens convicted of drunken driving or simple assault and other supposedly lesser crimes under new guidelines expected to come out from Homeland Security. Biden spokeswoman Jen Psaki was asked how the new rules will affect public safety at Monday's news conference. Here's what she had to say.
There's some new reporting that ICE is going to get some new guidance to no longer focus on deporting illegal immigrants who have been convicted of DUI, simple assault, solicitation, drug-based crimes, among other things. And I'm curious how that is in the interest of public safety.
Well, first, it's guidelines that would be put out by the Department of Homeland Security, and I'd certainly send you them. They have a confirmed secretary now, the priority for the enforcement of immigration laws will be on those who are posing a national security threat, of course, a public safety threat, and on recent arrivals. Nobody is saying that DUIs or assault are acceptable behavior, and those arrested for such activity should be tried and sentenced as appropriate by local law enforcement. But we're talking about the prioritization of who is going to be deported from the country.
And more broadly, would this be what Biden was talking about in the debate where he said in the Obama administration, they didn't do enough to reform the immigration system? Because he was just vice president, but that if he was president, things would change. Is this the kind of change that he was talking about?
Well, I think the kind of change he was talking about was putting forward an immigration bill at a time where modernization of immigration is long overdue, that addresses not only a pathway to citizenship, but puts in place smart security measures and addresses the root causes of these issues in the countries in Central America. So I think that's primarily what he was referring to, but also prioritization, which again would be up to the Department of Homeland Security to ensure our focus is on the individuals who pose the greatest national security threat is also something he's long supported.
Yeah, driving under the influence and assault, it's not acceptable behavior, but they're not deportable offenses. We're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk. We'll have a few more one more story on this issue, and then also to see, we're going to take you to the state of Florida and see how it is being targeted by a proposal to block Americans' travel to Florida. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what was early man like?
Chris, early man was, of course, Genesis man, Adam and his descendants. But evolutionists have a different idea. They claim that the animals gave rise to the humankind. But as near as we can tell, man has always been intelligent and advanced. In 1991, the frozen carcass of a man who died over 3,000 years ago was found in Austria. Evolutionists expected that people from that era were rather primitive. But this guy had a framed backpack, a copper axe, was carrying dried fruit and other foods, a fire starting kit, and a first aid kit. He had a bow made out of the best wood available. He was fully human. And that's the biblical view. Man was created in Genesis, descended from Adam and Noah, fully human from the start. And that's the back to Genesis truth.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup Friday here today. Thank you for joining us. Florida's under attack. Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis vowed he will act swiftly if the Biden administration imposes a travel restriction on his state, which is open for business while maintaining relatively low COVID-19 infection and hospitalization rates, reports WND.com. The recent report that the Biden administration is considering restricting the travel of Floridians is completely absurd, especially when Biden allows illegal aliens to pour across our southern border, he said. We won't allow Floridians to be unfairly targeted for political purposes. The Miami Herald reported Wednesday that the Biden administration is considering whether to impose domestic travel restrictions included on Florida, fearful that coronavirus mutations are threatening to reverse hard-fought progress on the pandemic. DeSantis was criticized last September for lifting the COVID lockdowns in his state, but he said every Floridian has a right to earn a living. Florida is open, and we've got your back, he said on January 31st. And also, yesterday, as Steve Scalise was talking, he said, you know what else is going on? It's not just impeachment that's going on. He said, we had committee hearings that are going on. We had an amendment to some legislation to make sure that more people, more money, put more money in place for increasing vaccines. Every Democrat voted that amendment down. He said, we had an amendment to ensure that illegals wouldn't get priority over Americans with the vaccine. Every Democrat voted that down. Taxpayer funding for abortion. Today, there were votes in Congress. Every Democrat voted against it. You can wonder why they want the sideshow of impeachment going on in the Senate so that you're not paying attention to these things. Interesting. And then he said, right now, you're hearing out of the White House that they're floating the idea in the White House of shutting down the state of Florida while Joe Biden's encouraging and opening up the southern border. Scalise called it insane. He also said that not only insane, but he said these open border policies have prompted super spreader caravans to head into the United States. In addition to opposing Republican amendments, Democrats are killing all the energy jobs. Are you hearing this, West Virginia? New York Post is reporting Governor Cuomo's top aide privately apologized to Democratic lawmakers for withholding the state's nursing home death toll from COVID-19, telling them, quote, we froze out of fear that the true numbers would be used against us by federal prosecutors. The stunning admission of a cover-up was made by Secretary to the Governor, Melissa DeRosa, during a video conference call with state Democratic leaders in which she said the Cuomo administration had rebuffed a legislative request for the tally in August because, quote, right around the same time, then-President Donald Trump turns this into a giant political football. According to the audio recorded of that two-hour meeting, he starts tweeting that we killed everyone in the nursing homes, DeRosa said. He starts going after New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, starts going after California Governor Gavin Newsom, starts going after Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. In addition to attacking Cuomo's fellow Democratic governors, DeRosa said Trump directs the Department of Justice to do an investigation into us, and basically we froze, she told the lawmakers on the call. Because then we were in a position where we weren't sure if we were going to give to the Department of Justice or what we give to you guys when we started saying what was going to be used against us, that we weren't sure if it was going to be an investigation that played a huge role into this. So we apologize. I do understand the position you were put in. I know it's not fair. It was not our intention to put you in that political position with the Republicans. But here you have an aide to Governor Cuomo, Melissa DeRosa, admitting they hid the nursing home data so that the feds would not find out. Western Journal reporting a Michigan judge has dismissed charges against six hairstylists who cut hair in front of the state capitol in May to protest what was called unconstitutional business shutdowns that were introduced and imposed by Governor Whitmer. Ironically, the district judge that struck down and throughout the charges was Judge Kristen Simmons, who was appointed by Whitmer herself. Washington Examiner, U.S. House and Senate Democrats have reintroduced the PRO Act, a sweeping pro-union bill that would wipe out right-to-work labor laws in 27 states. Democrats argue the PRO Act would create safer workplaces and increase employee benefits by expanding union organizing. Those opposed to it argue it will force small businesses to close, cost an untold number of jobs, and worsen the economy. Among the many provisions, the bill would advance union organization and collective bargaining rights by authorizing the National Labor Relations Board to levy fines against employers who violate workers' rights and unilaterally overturn a workplace election. It also would ensure that workers can participate in secondary boycotts and collect fair share fees. The bill also would make it illegal to permanently replace striking workers. Western Journal reporting a South Dakota judge Monday struck down a voter-approved constitutional amendment that legalized recreational marijuana after Governor Noem's administration challenged it. Circuit Judge Christina Klinger ruled that the measure approved by the voters in November violated the state's requirement that constitutional amendments deal with just one subject and would have created broad changes to state government. The amendment would also have given the state's Department of Revenue power to administer recreational marijuana, but Klinger said that by doing so, it overstepped the authority of the executive and legislative branches of the government. Lord willing, on Monday, a medical doctor will be with us on Crosstalk addressing the whole issue of marijuana, medicinal marijuana, recreational marijuana. Trust you'll be able to join us for that broadcast. Daily Wire reporting organizers behind the effort to recall Governor Gavin Newsom of California said late on Wednesday evening that they had reached the number of signatures required to force a recall next year. It's an effort to oust Newsom. His approval rating has dropped from 64% in September to just 46% in late January. That's a poll by the University of California, Berkeley's Institute of Government Studies. And some experts have cautioned it likely to be more difficult to actually recall him in the heavily Democratic state. Let's see here. Let's go to WND.com. The Washington Examiner, as they quote the Washington Examiner reporting, a niece of Vice President Kamala Harris, that's Mina Harris, has been engaged in diplomacy that has drawn attention in India. Through social media, she's called for the release of political activist Nodeep Kaur, and has supported Indian farmers locked in a confrontation with the Prime Minister Modi's government. She recently called India's government a dictatorship, which could, according to the report, complicate U.S. efforts to strengthen ties with India, which was one of Biden's pledges. But here we have family troubles now coming from relation to the vice president. Epic Times reporting the U.S. is reengaging with the U.N. Human Rights Council, plans to rejoin the body, the Biden administration said on February 8th. While the council is a flawed body in need of reform, the U.S. withdrawal in 2018 not only didn't encourage meaningful change, it created a vacuum of U.S. leadership, which countries with authoritarian agendas have used to their advantage, said Secretary of State Antony Blinken. To address the council's deficiencies and ensure it lives up to its mandate, the U.S. must be at the table using the full weight of our diplomatic leadership. The Trump administration withdrew the U.S. from the council nearly 3 years ago, pointing to some of the biggest human rights abusers, including China, being among its members. The LifeSiteNews.com reports President Biden signed this executive order promoting homosexuality and transgenderism as a centerpiece of U.S. foreign policy. The document directs all U.S. government departments and agencies engaged abroad to ensure that U.S. diplomacy and foreign assistance promote and protect the human rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex persons around the world. Of most concern to human rights advocates around the world is the provision of $10 million in the upcoming fiscal year to fund the Global Equality Fund that will allow the U.S. government to blacklist foreign religious leaders who speak out in favor of the natural family and against the LGBT ascendancy. These human rights advocates would be blocked in the same way certain Russian oligarchs are blocked from entering the United States. Breitbart is reporting that all New York State employees are required to have training in the state's new gender identity toolkit, a resource to ensure the special rights of transgender and other individuals who are not comfortable with their biological sex are acknowledged and put into practice. Not, I mean, they're going to have a language primer of terms used by those engaged in gender ideology, use of preferred pronouns, how to be an ally to gender dysphoric individuals in the workplace, gender transition planning resources, on and on it goes. There's a new bill, a Senate bill, that would prohibit boys in girls' sports, says Christian Headlines. A bill introduced this month in Congress would prohibit biological males from participating in girls' and women's sports by clarifying that the language on athletics in Title IX refers to biological sex, not to gender identity. Mike Lee of Utah. This bill would ensure that Title IX provisions on sports treat sex as that which is recognized based solely on a person's biology and genetics at birth. Further, the bill would find schools in violation of Title IX if they allow biological males to participate in girls' or women's sports. OneNewsNow.com reporting that the Tennessee governor says that transgender athletes will destroy women's sports. This is Governor Bill Lee. He said that transgender girls should be banned from playing on middle and high school sports teams or they'll destroy women's sports, saying it will ruin the opportunity for girls to earn scholarships. It will put a glass ceiling back over women that hasn't been there in some time. He said, I think it's bad for women and for women's sports. Also, the North Dakota House has passed a bill banning transgender athletes from high school sports teams. It passed the House of Representatives. There must be on the sport team that correspond with their biological sex. This is HB 1298. It passed the state's lower chamber, now slated to head to the state Senate. Also, Utah. The Utah House is moving forward with a bill to ban transgender athletes in school sports. It's a committee that has advanced this bill. And let's see, it's HB 302, for those of you listening in Utah. It's entitled the Preserving Sports for Female Students Bill that defines sex as a biological physical condition of being male or female determined by an individual's genetics and anatomy at birth. Folks, don't be science deniers. Science tells us this. Follow the science, folks. You're male or female. Follow the science. Let's look at another issue here. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki completely dismissed a reporter's questions about how schools should be advised on settling disputes over transgender girls competing against biological girls. Here's a question posed by a reporter and also her response as she gave it.
Secondly, on President Biden's transgender rights executive action, specifically when it applies to high school sports, what message would the White House have for trans girls and cis girls who may end up competing against each other and sparking some lawsuits and some concern among parents? So does the administration have guidance for schools on dealing with disputes arising over trans girls competing against and with cis girls?
I'm not sure what your question is.
The president's executive order has...
I'm familiar with the order, but what was your question about it?
My question is, does the president have a message for local school officials on dealing with these kind of disputes that are already starting to arise between trans girls who are competing and cis girls in a level playing field, it's particularly in high school sports when it leads to college scholarships? Is there any kind of messaging or clarification that the White House wants to give on the executive order?
I would just say that the president's belief is that trans rights are human rights, and that's why he signed that executive order. And in terms of the determinations by universities and colleges, I would certainly defer to them.
We're going to see the death of girls' sports across the nation, unless something changes. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Throughout history, most nations have been ruled by kings. Power which concentrates into the hands of one person, however, often rewards his friends and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king the planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. So how do republics rise and fall? How do countries succumb to communist dictators? These and other issues are addressed in the book, Who is the King in America?, written by William Federer. You'll discover what makes America unique and the keys to preserving our freedoms. Who is the King in America? Is available for a donation of $18. A DVD of Bill's teaching on the same topic is also available for $18, or if you'd like them both, a donation of just $30. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. I've just got to get some more stories out to you here today to keep you informed on a number of issues. Last week, we told you about this American Girl doll and promoting an LGBT storyline. Well, now over 20,000 people have backed an online petition asking the American Girl company to scrap the LGBT storyline on this 2021 Girl of the Year doll. That's Akira doll. And telling them stay neutral in this culture war. This is 1 million moms, and the doll comes with his book, Kira Down Under. Kira visits an animal sanctuary in Australia operated by her great aunts who are in a same-sex marriage. Not only is it 1 million moms, but also Moms for America that is also arguing that American Girl is destroying yet another valuable support for mothers raising children. Christian Post is reporting that Planned Parenthood workers are warning kids claiming trans identity are being used as cash cows. A Planned Parenthood employee is speaking out against the organization practice of dispensing cross-sex hormones to trans-identifying teenagers, particularly distressed girls. Are you listening, folks? The staffer who spoke on condition of being anonymous in this recounted in an interview how she felt morally conflicted about the volume of young people coming into the clinic claiming a transgender identity and yet showed signs of emotional and mental health issues. Also expressed great concern over the speed at which they were being prescribed cross-sex hormones. The young clients were prescribed hormones with almost no examination of their underlying problems, and medical oversight was practically non-existent, the staffer alleged. The Planned Parenthood employee, who said she's fully supportive of abortion rights, noted that abortions were the bread and butter for clinics, but now, she said, trans-identifying kids are cash cows, and they are kept on the hook for the foreseeable future in terms of follow-up appointments, blood work, meetings, etc., whereas abortions are hopefully a one-and-done situation. The abortion giant has recognized if they can get a teenager to start hormones, they will keep coming back to their clinic, and with each visit, the profits will grow, she added. The Planned Parenthood employee added that based on her recollection, many girls went in with their peer groups and one or two girls went to the clinic each day to pick up cross-sex hormones, with one exception, she reported, never seeing anyone being denied access to cross-sex hormones. Elizabeth Johnson reporting that the SBA is hiding documents revealing how Planned Parenthood got $80 million in COVID relief money. A handful of documents furnished to the Daily Caller following a Freedom of Information Act request have left more questions than answers on the issue of Planned Parenthood receiving millions in COVID relief intended for small businesses, something several GOP lawmakers claim is illegal. LifeNews.com. Oh, a troubling story. Operation Rescue released a new video that documents 67 medical emergencies that took place in America abortion facilities in 2020, including one abortion-related maternal death. The video vividly shatters the rhetoric of the abortion cartel that attempts to convince the public that abortion is safe. Out of the 67 emergencies documented, 30 involved Planned Parenthood's abortion facilities. Here's some of the breakdown. That recorded complications were documented through 911 records and eyewitness accounts. 20 that were hemorrhaging, 3 severe pain. Here's 3 with possible heart attack or stroke, 2 with seizures, 2 with a sedation overdose, 2 were not responding or unconscious, 1 an incomplete abortion. Here's 1 with a life-threatening complication from the abortion pill. 1 was a maternal death. 5 of the abortion emergencies involved abortions in the second trimester or later. LifeNews.com also reporting a South Carolina bill designed to ban abortions when an unborn baby's heart starts beating moved ahead Tuesday after the Judiciary Committee there voted 15-8 along party lines to advance the measure to the full House. Montana, the Senate there has also passed 4 life-saving bills in the committee that are moving on now to the full Senate as well. South Dakota committee has passed a bill to stop infanticide to protect babies who survive abortion. Interesting story here, too, on LifeNews.com. If you oppose Common Core, wait till you see how it's used to promote abortion. in Utah, and matter of fact, there's Utahns against Common Core. They made a public, a revealing question on a high school final biology exam. It only came to light because a student took a screenshot of the question with his cell phone, which was against the rules. But the exam was part of Utah Electronic High School, an online education program. It was a multiple choice question regarding the following situation. A 40-year-old mother of two students is pregnant, and genetic testing indicates Down syndrome. Students are given four options to decide the outcome. Here are the four. Number one, redo the testing closer to the baby's due date, necessitating a late-term abortion if giving birth is out of the question. Number two, follow the doctor's test results and abort the baby. Number three, prioritize the wishes of the mother, support her decision if it's abortion. And number four, take into consideration religious beliefs, financial burden of the baby, and the effect on family members to make the best decision for everyone. Do you see the bias here, folks? Out of the four options, which possible choice was not represented? I mean, what was not represented is if you guessed declining an abortion and value the life of the baby regardless of the outcome, you'd be right, because that was absent. The message is subtle, but it's effective. It teaches students that the inerrant right to life of an unborn child is not even a consideration. Fox News reporting the NBA requiring that all teams play the national anthem before games, in keeping with longstanding league policy. That was just one day after Mark Cuban of the Dallas Mavericks, he's the owner, said that the team decided not to play it at home games. NBA Chief Communications Officer Mike Bass released a statement Wednesday, just a day after Cuban said he had no plans to play the national anthem at any future home games. That decision by Cuban has now been overturned. From WND.com, a peer-reviewed study contends the CDC violated federal law by inflating coronavirus fatality numbers. The figures were inflated by at least 1,600%, according to the Public Health Initiative of the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge that published the study titled COVID-19 Data Collection, Comorbidity, and a Federal Law, a Historical Retrospective. The study asserts that the CDC willfully violated multiple federal laws, including the Information Quality Act, Paperwork Reduction Act, and Administrative Procedures Act, reported the National File. By the way, Johnson & Johnson CEO says people may need annual COVID vaccine shots for the next several years. Alex Gorsky. Told CNBC Tuesday, people may need to get vaccinated against COVID-19 annually, just like the seasonal flu shot. Unfortunately, as a virus spreads, it can also mutate. Every time it mutates, it's almost like another click of the dial, so to speak, where we can see another variant, he said. Also, from USA Today, COVID-19 vaccine, should employers give workers paid time off or other incentives to get vaccinated? Target announced it would provide up to 4 hours of pay and free Lyft rides to workers who get vaccinated. They also report at McDonald's, which has about 205,000 employees globally as of early 2020. U.S. workers will be given 4 hours of pay to get the vaccine. It does not cover the 93% of its restaurants that were run by franchisees of a year ago. Darden Restaurants, that owns Olive Garden, Longhorn Steakhouse, will provide 2 hours of pay for each vaccine dose. Several grocery chains are providing incentives to workers to get it. Lidl is giving workers who get vaccinated $200 in extra pay. Kroger offering $100. Aldi and Trader Joe's are providing workers 2 hours of extra pay for each dose. Starbucks offering 2 hours of pay for each dose. And discount retailer Dollar General offering 4 hours of pay after workers receive their final dose of a vaccine. New York Times reporting that federal officials are considering whether to require airline passengers to have a negative COVID test before boarding domestic flights. According to the Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, proof of a negative test is already required for passengers boarding international flights under a policy by the CDC. In a program that aired Sunday night, Mr. Buttigieg said that there's an active conversation with the CDC right now about whether to require a negative test for domestic travel as well. And by the way, Americans must tighten up or double their mask, according to the CDC. Well, let's open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. If you'd like to comment on some of these stories or other news-related issues going on, our telephone number is 800-733-9829. In other words, it's a comment day today. To comment on these or other current news issues, 800-733-9829. WND.com says that leaving a mask at home could cost a traveler big bucks under a sliding scale of fines unveiled by the TSA. They've picked to be one of the enforcement arm of the federal mandates, one from the president, one from the CDC, that require people taking any form of transportation to wear a mask. Regarding the civil penalty fine structure for individuals who violate the directive, TSA will recommend a fine ranging from $250 for first offense to $1,500 for repeat offenders. And by the way, you just can't speak against this or you get removed from social media. This is Western Journal reporting. Instagram banned Robert F. Kennedy Jr. from the platform Wednesday for criticizing the COVID-19 vaccine. He's been a vocal vaccine critic, had 800,000 Instagram followers before the account's removal. Instagram removed the account of Kennedy after he questioned Bill Gates for his support of vaccinations. Facebook, that owns Instagram and Twitter, had not removed Kennedy as of Thursday, but Kennedy had advocated for states to exempt parents from vaccinating their children and has linked vaccines to several deaths and called it a cause of autism, according to CNN. Kennedy is a chair of the Children's Health Defense, a nonprofit concerned with the effects of vaccination. And the Washington Post saying that Virginia is assisting living facility markets, vaccination staycation. I guess Tall Oaks Assisted Living in Fairfax has advertised you can come book a month-long stay at $5,000, all-inclusive studio apartment, and with it you receive a two-dose vaccine at the facility. Let's go to the phone lines here today. We're going to begin with our friend Courtney calling from Miami. Good evening or afternoon, Courtney. You're on the air.
God bless all you saints today. I really feel good listening to you today, Crosstalk. And I just want to give you a little advertisement. You saints, now is the time to witness for the Lord like never before. I use Crosstalk, the weekend roundup thing, to pass out to people, Bible tracts and CDs of church services. And I'm going to say one thing. All this darkness we're in, the government's telling you how you can't go here, you can't go there, you got to wear this, you got to shut your business down, you can open this up, you got to shut your church prayers down. This is socialism creeping in, and next will be Marxism, and then will be complete communism. It's a time to be saved and to stay saved. And like I always say, watch your children. Watch what they learn. Put them in that word every day, parents. Be with them as you can. God bless you all. And it's wonderful listening to Crosstalk. God bless you.
God bless you too, Courtney. Always good to hear from you. Quick break here. We'll come back to more of your phone calls here in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. I'm pleased to announce that the docu-movie Absolute Proof is available for you to watch free of charge at wvwtv.com/proof. This is not a political documentary. This is an educational documentary to preserve our republic for all people. This shows what happened with the cyber attack on our election cycle by enemies, foreign and domestic. It was produced as executive producers by myself, Brandon House, Mike Lindell, and Mary Fanning. We filmed it and post-edited this in 6 days. It was a Herculean achievement for the American people and for our religious liberty, economic freedom, and God-given rights. I hope you'll spread it far and wide and watch this educational public service documentary. WVWTV.com/proof. That's WVW. TV.com/proof.
It's a News Roundup Day here on Crosstalk. Thanks for tuning in. We're going right back to the phone lines with Christine calling in from Hillsboro. And Christine, you're on the air.
I have a question concerning the employers paying the employees to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. And do you know if there is a federal reimbursement plan for these payments made?
No, I don't know.
All right. I'm just curious.
I know some are giving, you know, hours, paid hours. Others are giving direct pay, but I do not know if there is incentive from the federal government for that.
Just seems strange that they all came up with this. So, all right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Frank next. You're on the air, Frank.
Yes, thank you. Oh, I'm on now?
No, I don't know.
Frank, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I wanted to say about the transgender issue. I've been wondering when it will be passed, when it will be made into law that people can be transracial. If they can be transgender, why can they not be transracial?
Mm-hmm.
And that they could use that for their advantage whenever it suited them, just like they're using the transgender issue to be transgender whenever it suits them.
Yeah, you see, and that's the question, because, I mean, if a teenager said, hey, today I feel like a senior citizen and I deserve that senior citizen discount today, or you know, whatever it may be, you know, kids 10 and under free, and so an adult says, well, I'm identifying as an 8-year-old today, I should be able to get in free. And people say, well, that's ridiculous. Well, it's ridiculous that a person can suggest that a male is identifying as a female or a female identifying as a male. It just doesn't make sense, as you pointed out there, Frank.
Well, if we're supposed to be, you know, if this is all about humanity under the one world government, everybody being equal on equal footing, then we should erase all of the biological barriers, not just the one, not just the sex barrier.
Yeah. Thank you, Frank. You've made a good point. Let's go to Don next in Fort Scott, Kansas. You're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on the study done from the National Association of Railroads. Your information, as far as I know, is absolutely correct. But there's one element that was forgot to put into that study, I believe. I didn't hear it. Is on the pumping stations for the pipeline, they have them about every 20 miles. And massive diesels are used to push that oil through the line. So that needs to be deducted to determine actually how much pollution is actually put into the air. That being said, it still is a dramatic mistake not to have the pipeline, because Canada is going to resort to ship the oil to China, which is in disfavor to our economy here in the United States.
Yep.
So I thank you for all your information and would like to know where that study is found.
Good question. I'll see if I can. I've got a stack of stories here. If I can find where that is, you'd be able to do likely an internet search to get the full study itself. We'll see if we can come across it here. Thank you.
Look forward to
stay
that.
Listening.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to David next in Milwaukee. David, you're on the air.
Help me, Lord. Thank you, Jim, for taking my call and standing up as a watchman with a gentle love that you show. LGBTQ, I don't like to use the words of the world. I don't use the word gender. I use the word male, female. Let us make man after our image, after our likeness. Male and female created he them. At conception, XX is a girl and XY is a boy. And I say L, Lord, G, God, Jesus, B, beget, T, transform, transfigure, Q, quicken me, or quicken you into a child of God. We need to get the gospel out to everybody. God bless you, Jim. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's go next to Al in Bridgeport, West Virginia. You're on the air.
Brother Jim, thanks for taking my call today. And it's always great to hear Brother Courtney from down in Florida. He's just so uplifting. I love him. Good to hear your voice, Courtney. I want to talk about the transgenderism in women's sports. You know, I coached fast pitch softball for a number of years, and the reason why I like to coach girls better than boys, because boys cry, but girls get even, Jim.
Hmm.
And they're really, really competitive. And I mentioned something a while back to you. How about having a another classification then? So they won't be competing against the other sex. They'll be competing against their own folks who have the same mind. I mean, you know, it's just something. But you throw that out there, I guarantee you, you won't have anybody trying to do it to try to compete.
Right, because
I bet you won't.
Okay, yeah, they say that in itself, Al, is discriminatory.
Well, I mean,
that's what they've done in schools.
As you know, Jim, it's just awful.
Right.
And the way these schools are going now, I want to retire from my job and be a handicapped special needs classroom aide.
Mm-hmm.
So is anything going to go back to normal for this? I mean, you know, we just got to pray, man. Just got to pray. And God's got the plan, Jim. He's got it.
Thank you, Al. And by the way, that CNSnews.com is the headline here. Canceling Keystone would boost carbon emissions. And they may have links from their story, but it is the Energy Equipment and Infrastructure Alliance that released the report, the Energy Equipment and Infrastructure Alliance. We go next to Iron Ridge. And, Stephen, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim. I'm just wondering, how is it a privately owned business, which is the Center for Disease Control, sets American policy at this point?
I don't have an answer. I don't know that they are privately controlled, are they?
Well,
this is a government agency.
They're registered as a nonprofit, and when I Google their biggest donor, it's 3M.
Okay, I'm not familiar with it here, Stephen, so sorry I can't help you there. Donald in Eau Claire, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I appreciate your program you did yesterday on the presidential executive orders. And I think it'd be great to also have a program on the state executive orders. We had a whole bunch of them last year, primarily through We the People and mostly by state governors.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Don.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's cdc.gov is a website. It's a government website. And finally, Brenda in Iowa, you're on the air very quickly.
Hi, thank you so much for the program today. Could you please repeat the data that you mentioned about the results of the COVID-19 deaths, please?
Yeah, I can't, only because my closing theme is playing right now here on the program, so I have 20 seconds left, so I cannot get through all those statistics again. But this will be posted on our website within just a couple hours. You can go back and listen to it at crosstalkamerica.com, crosstalkamerica.com, and you'll find it there. We're out of time here today. Thanks for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, and have a blessed weekend.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.